The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
And we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Elissa Walker-Campbell along with you. And in our next segment, of course, it's always being brought to you by our good friends at Mercer Well Service. And that means it is time for our Under the Helmet segment, as we are going to be visiting with NFL and college football great Jason Peter. And of course, the countdown is on for the start of the college football season. And the countdown is also on for his annual celebrity golf tournament in Lincoln, Nebraska. He has teamed up once again with the Getter Done Foundation, Larry the Cable Guy. I cannot believe it is the fourth annual two-day golf tournament, of course, raising money for local charities and for the Madonna Rehabilitation Hospital. Congratulations on that, Jason, and it is going to be a lot of fun.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really turned into a fun event that people, at least the returnees, and it's almost about 100% at anybody who played the prior year usually is back this next year. And we're kind of right at where we want to be in terms of capacity. It's not one of those seven-hour type of rounds. That can get kind of exhausting for a lot of people. And we try to limit the amount of people that we have out there so that it's an enjoyable day from the start to the end.
And Jason, this is what the earliest we've ever had it in the month of September, is that right? Because the first year was in October.
Yeah, and it's just with that, it's trying to match it up with a quality home Husker game, as well as you're dealing with weather when you're talking about Lincoln, Nebraska, although it seems like lately golf courses are running all the way through Christmas, and the weather is not as bad as it kind of used to be. And maybe that's just the old man in me now starting to tell the same story my father did about walking to school and 4 feet of snow uphill both ways. Maybe it's just something that comes with age, but I remember it being a lot cooler at that point in the year. But this year we're going to go with September, and so we just late September. Well, no, actually kind of middle. It's right there around my birthday. And
that's right.
Yep. So I think we're September 12th and 13th.
So who are some of the celebrity guests and former Husker players that will be participating this year? Can you share?
Yeah, it's kind of the usual crew. You've got guys like Neil Smith and Will Shields and the local guys that are around, Tommy Frazier and Matt Davison, who is now he's been the voice of the Huskers for a while, and he's the player. He was a freshman at the time, but he was the receiver that caught that ball in the end zone against Missouri when we went into overtime in 97. It was Tab the Kick, where one of the players kicked it up in the air and he was able to come down with it. So there's a lot of guys, obviously, around here. Keeping it somewhat local with the Husker fans usually is a big win. Sometimes you could go out and I could bring in three or four all-star guys from Carolina or somewhere else in the NFL, and the reality is that a lot of the Husker fans would rather have played around with a guy who played a year or two for Nebraska. So you try to keep it local, but there's certainly some players that everybody knows if you're a football fan.
Well, Jason, it is a first-class golf tournament. It's something, as the Campbell family, we always look so forward to. It's a memorable couple of days, and the boys, they are ready to go. They just got back from those world championships, so.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be throwing darts out there then.
Oh, I have to share real quickly. Eli Walker, it was his first year at the world championships, and on the last hole, he missed his birdie putt, and Jason, he had a Happy Gilmore moment. He got down on his knees. I guess Steve was caddying for him, and he said, "Why didn't you go home, Ball? Are you too good to go to your home?"
Oh, that was had been classic. You have that on videotape. That would probably win you one of the funniest home videos.
It was crazy. Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get to see it. I was caddying for Steven, but who knows what's going to happen when the boys are up there in Lincoln. It's something we certainly look forward to. Well, let's move ahead. There's a number of topics, obviously, that have been going on in the NFL. A very unfortunate one when you talk about Riley Cooper, Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver. So all I can say is, I mean, what a fool. I mean, we've all seen the video. Talk to us a little bit about this, Jay.
Yeah, I find it hard for a guy that has played football for as long as he has to be that stupid or have those types of feelings. I mean, look, I've been in high school locker rooms and college locker rooms and ultimately then the NFL. And with each level that you go up, the reality is there's just more African-American guys playing the game than there are white guys, and you're just bound by a numbers thing to socialize with these guys and to get to know them. And you know, you go out there on the football field, and it's kind of, I was under the mentality that the guys to the left of me, the guy to the right of me, the guy lined up behind me, they're my brothers. And you know, I'm going to kind of war with them, and I'll do whatever they need to do, and you ask the same of them. And this, I think, obviously is a result of a guy who probably had way too much to drink. I think his ego took a major slap in the face when, I guess, a bunch of his teammates who were maybe walking in front of them, you know, were able to get in to the backstage area, and they kind of denied Riley, and that's the way that he responded or reacted. And, you know, it's just sometimes I think as society, you think, you know, maybe because an issue like this lays dormant for a while, that you almost think it's not really relevant anymore, and that we've passed that, or we've become better people as a whole. And I think you find out every once in a while when something like this happens that there's still idiots everywhere.
But Jason, you know, I mean, let me jump in here. I mean, I definitely believe in the power of forgiveness, but I truly believe he will never rehabilitate his image. As a teammate, I could never get past that.
Yeah,
he needs to move on.
This will be tough, and I think the guys in the locker room that are coming out and saying that, you know, they know Riley and they know that's not him. I think a lot of those guys are maybe just kind of playing the role as being the good teammate. Certainly, Michael Vick, I'm sure there's some compassion there because he's gone through his own battle, and something that you know, will live with him for the rest of his life. But yeah, this is something that.
But Jason, where does that come from? I mean, you could be blitzed. I could be. I would never, ever use that kind of language ever. I never have.
And that's the thing. You know, his response to it when he did the interview the next day in front of the media, and he said, "That's not who I am."
That's weak.
I've never used this word before. That's not how my parents raised me. And maybe that's not how his parents raised me. But if you watch that video, that is not the first time that guy has said that.
Right.
I mean, that came out like, that. This is who I really am. And I don't care who knows. I mean, that he said it with authority. And you know, when you're going to say something like that, if that's something that you've never said before, I don't think it's going to come out off the tongue like it did with him. I mean, that just rolled right off the tongue like, you know, it's part of his everyday vocabulary.
Jason Peter is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. Some very big things are on the way for our program. We will be filling you in on that. Of course, Jason joins us each and every week with our Under the Helmet segment, and you go to his website at jasonpeter.com. Well, let's shift avenues. Let's talk about some of the controversy that's going on in college football. Of course, Johnny Manziel, he's always at the forefront of the headlines. You think he's going to play this year at all?
Well, I wouldn't be totally surprised if he didn't, but knowing the track record of the NCAA and looking back on previous cases like Reggie Bush, and you know, where there was an incident with him where I think the average person would look at it and say, geez, isn't that enough evidence for the NCAA to lay down the law with him and you know, drop the hammer? And it just, you know, year after year just went by, and Reggie, you know, he was out of college and he was playing professional. And I mean, it takes them, it seems like, forever to finally come to, you know, some sort of resolution on some things. But it's really disappointing. It really is disappointing to see Johnny Manziel and, you know, all of the stuff that's happened this past offseason and how fame has, I'm not going to say changed him, but his the success that he's had, I think, has now obviously brought the magnifying glass that much closer to him. And I think you're able to see now the type of kid that Johnny Manziel really is. And certainly the fame, I sympathize with him a little bit. Not that I ever experienced that sort of fame. I mean, it's just a different day and age now. And, you know, you're talking about the only freshman who have ever won the Heisman Trophy, and everything is just tenfold in terms of the media coverage and access that people have to these athletes nowadays. But, you know, I think you're seeing, I think, you know, the way that he is as a person. And I think you're seeing, you know, this silver spoon in him.
He is spoiled.
Yeah, he's a very
spoiled
brat. And the thing I said to one of my buddies a week or so ago, I said, you know what Johnny Manziel needs? He needs a good old ass kicker. That's what he needs. He needs somebody to just smack him around a little bit and say, don't forget who you are. You know, I mean, like,
you have to wonder if his parents ever told him no.
Not only do they not tell him no, but it seems like they coddle him. They cover up his mistakes. They look the other way when he acts like a jerk. You know, there was that piece that was written by ESPN. I think Wright Thompson. I hope that's his name. I got it right. But he had written a really, really good kind of piece on Johnny Manziel and his family and the whole, you know, dealing with the fame. And you got to know Johnny as the person, and you got to know the parents as well. And, you know, when you look at a situation like that, and now I'm kind of, you know, with my own kids, every decision you make, you're thinking to yourself, am I making the right decision here? Is this going to affect them the best way in the long run? Or am I letting them get away with something that will ultimately later turn into a bigger issue? And you can't put all the blame on Johnny Manziel. Certainly he's got to take some responsibility for the things that have happened to him. But man, his parents, I mean, they need to look themselves in the mirror, and they need to ask themselves if the decisions that they're making for their son, or the things that they look the other way on, are they really helping their son become the best person that he could possibly be? Because when you read this piece, I mean, that's the thing I came away with, was thinking, how do the parents look themselves in the mirror at the end of the night?
Jason Peter with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. I think the thing that I want to talk to you about is, what do you do if you're head coach Kevin Sumlin? I mean, how in the world, Jason, do you create an environment where, you know, it's a team sport and there's been so much attention on Johnny Manziel? This is such a distraction. It just doesn't look good. I mean, how are you going to be able to foster that in the locker room?
It didn't help when he was at SEC Media Day. It just seemed like he was either making excuses for Johnny or saying, well, you know, Johnny's got it tough, and Johnny's got so much fame, and Johnny's this, and Johnny, you know, you almost have to make an example of the kid. And you have to, you know, what you do to the third string punter in terms of punishment, you know, you need to do to him. You know, this could turn into something, especially with this whole autograph thing, you know, where the players on Texas A&M, you know, these guys could ultimately kind of form, you know, a division in that locker room where you have the pro Johnny guys and you have the guys that are anti-Johnny, who think, you know, why is he getting all this pub? You know, we're the guys that blocked for him. We're the guys that, you know, went out and got the ball back for him. And you know, I think after reading that piece, I think, and I'm sure his teammates read it, you know, some remarks by the father, and you know, you bring up Kevin Sumlin, and, you know, the father's kind of just bitching and moaning about, you know, my son can go out and he can be the best football player in America, and he could win, you know, the Heisman Trophy, and he can make sure that, you know, jerseys are being sold in the bookstore and that there's, you know, 85 or 90,000 people in the stands, and the head coach is getting $1 million raise, and you know, but what's my Johnny getting? My Johnny doesn't get anything. And it's like this whole, like, poor me sort of mentality, like, it doesn't matter that the rules have been a certain way for God knows how long with the NCAA. For my Johnny, because he's the greatest thing that's ever happened to this world, they need to bend the rules, and my Johnny should be getting paid extra because of what he does for Texas A&M. Well, here's the thing that Johnny Manziel's father needs to know, that most programs like A&M, like Oklahoma, Nebraska, they have had their own Johnny Manziels, you know, and they have Johnny Manziels every year because somebody, there's a player down on that field who the people in the stands, they love. And maybe it's not just one guy. Maybe it's five or six or seven guys. But teams that love or programs that have followings like those schools do, fans, at least the you know, what I'm used to here at Nebraska, they'll always love their team. They'll always love their players. They may not agree with some things, but, you know, at some point, Johnny Manziel is not going to play for Texas A&M. And there'll be another guy who's playing quarterback. And there might be another guy who, you know, wins the Heisman Trophy for Texas A&M. There'll always be somebody. But at the time that you go through it, you think that football would stop, you know, at your school, or they would never play football again, you know, for your team if you couldn't walk out on that field again. And that's just the crazy way of thinking. You know, this sport has been around long before Johnny Manziel came around, and it will be around a lot longer after. But like I said, reading that article, you get a better glimpse as to maybe why he's made some of the decisions that he's made.
You know, Jason, a lot has changed since you played college football and won 3 national championships. Was there that temptation as a player in Lincoln to, you know, autograph?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, especially, you know, with myself and Grant Wistrom, you know, we were roommates, best friends. You know, where one was, the other, and so it was almost like you've got 2 All-Americans kind of packed into, you know, the one sighting, and we were constantly proposed situations, you know, where we could make some money and we could do this, but we knew what the consequences were if we were going to get caught, and it just, for us, the team was always the first priority. And that's, you know, the way that Coach Osborne and the assistant coaches, that was the environment that they created there, was that it was always about the team. And the second that you think it's about you, then you're not fitting into this equation and what needs to happen in order to win a national championship. The money will be there. You know, if you take care of your business, and you do what you're asked to do, and you put in the hours you need to become, you know, the best player possible, the money, all that stuff, that will be there in the end. But, you know, you just have
to... But how are you able to have that kind of perspective? I mean, did you start at the top? It was with Coach Osborne?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was, like I said, I mean, he told us from day one, you know, there'll be opportunities, especially in a town like or a state like Nebraska. I mean, you can get down to Texas, and you've got numerous teams. You got numerous college teams. You got pro teams, different types of pro teams in Nebraska. It's this is it. It's the college football team. It's the Huskers. And you are the biggest show in this state. And, you know, there aren't many fair-weather fans here. You got it's just in their blood. It's something that, like I said, we were educated on from the moment that we came in. And I'm not sitting here saying that there weren't guys on the team that maybe did something. There very well could have been, but there was nothing that I can remember where, you know, there was something that was so big that it put everything else at risk. I don't remember those times, or, you know, at least the guys that if they did it, they didn't get caught.
We're getting ready to wrap it up this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, going one-on-one with Jason Peter, our Under the Helmet segment. We've hit on a variety of topics. My final question for you is, of course, you know, we're keeping an eye on some of the biggest games to kick off and start college football season right here in Fort Worth, TCU, LSU. And what are your thoughts on Jeremy Hill's return to LSU?
I'm all with Coach Patterson on this one. I just think it's comical that Les Miles left the decision or Jeremy Hill's fate up to his teammates. You know, this is a guy that if you've watched the video, I mean, it's brutal. I mean, he just kind of comes out of nowhere to a guy that's just kind of walking down the street or walking in a parking lot, and I'm sure it's after hours or something. I'm sure there's some sort of alcohol that was involved prior to them walking down the street. And he just comes out of nowhere and just boom. I mean, just levels this guy from the side. And he knows it's being videotaped. And he goes and kind of, you know, talks to the camera afterwards. And it's disgraceful. It really is.
Well, Coach Patterson's right. I mean, Jeremy Hill's return to LSU, it does not teach life lessons.
Right. He says, you know, I'm sure if it was some opponent they beat by 100 points, you know, the team wouldn't have had a vote, and he's probably right. This was a way for Les Miles to kind of bend the situation a little bit, so it looks like his kind of plate is clean. Like, you know, this wasn't me, this was the players. And this day and age, where these guys, especially at a school like LSU, I mean, let's be realistic here. Guys that are going to play at LSU, they're not going for an education. They are going to get to the NFL and as fast as they possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, everybody's going to look that much better to the NFL if you're winning. Well, who do you need to win? Well, it's good to have your starters there, especially your starting running back. So what do you think those players are going to do? I mean, what did Les Miles really think when he was sitting in his office saying, you know, that's a good idea, and how this situation can really, I think, be resolved the right way. Let's let the players vote on whether or not they want their buddy, their friend, their teammate to return to the first game of the season. I mean, it's an absolute joke, and it just, you know, there's certain stuff that happens at certain schools, and it doesn't shock you. When I heard, you know, this happened at LSU, Les Miles, that doesn't shock me. I mean, this is the reality that a lot of coaches live in. I mean, they just kind of look the other way, and then you wonder why there's situations like this that are happening.
It is something that we see time and time again in college football. And Jason, we just look forward to catching up with you next week. We're over our time, okay?
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.